This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
COVID-19, the pandemic. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Glad you're with us on this Thursday, March 12. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Significant developments regarding the coronavirus. President Trump halts flights from Europe to the U.S. and the NBA has suspended its season.
Financial markets around the world are sharply lower this morning over coronavirus concerns, and the Dow Industrials entered bear market territory.
On the campaign trail, Bernie Sanders says he's staying in the Democratic race for president and will take part in Sunday's debate with Joe Biden.
And disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein gets 23 years in prison for sexual assault and rape.
I think the judge decided, you know, at some point during the trial and expressed it that these were serious charges, and if found guilty, he was going to go to jail for more than 20 years. I bet the only debate the judge had was whether to have the 20-year and the 3-year sentence go concurrently or consecutively.
Attorney Corey Stern has analysis of the Weinstein sentencing. The coronavirus continues to reach deep into the U.S. planning. President Trump last night used a national TV address to announce a 30-day ban on some travel from Europe to the U.S. He also said he plans to offer financial assistance to those affected by the respiratory disease. On the same day, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. The State Department advised U.S. citizens against all travel abroad, warning of things like mandatory quarantines and travel restrictions that could complicate overseas travel.
If we are vigilant and we can reduce the chance of infection, which we will significantly impede the transmission of the virus.
Mr. Trump says any government aid would be targeted for workers who are ill, quarantined, or caring for others. He also said he would instruct the IRS to push back the April 15 tax payment deadline for certain individuals and businesses. Overseas, Italy tightened its nationwide quarantine, ordering the closure of all restaurants, bars, and stores. Only grocery stores and pharmacies can be open. The bull run for stocks has officially ended after 11 years. With the Dow Industrials falling more than 1,400 points yesterday, it is now 20% off from its most recent high just last month, taking it into bear market territory. The S&P 500 is still shy of a bear market. Schools are sending students home, as you know. Consumers are canceling vacation plans. And banks have deployed contingency plans used during crises like the 9/11 terror attacks. Overseas today, financial markets again recoiled. And oil slumped on news that the U.S. is banning some travel from Europe. Carrie Leahy is chief U.S. economist at Decision Economics.
There is fear, there is panic, and there's unfortunately no historical pattern to say that we'll get out of it.
Meanwhile, the House is scheduled to vote today on legislation to address the economic fallout of the coronavirus. Democrats are pushing for the expansion of safety nets, like free testing for the virus, additional unemployment insurance, and extended paid sick leave for those forced to stay home. The entertainment industry is now feeling the effects of the coronavirus. The NBA last night suspended its season after a player tested positive. Also on the hardwood, college basketball officials say the NCAA men's and women's tournaments will be played with no fans in attendance, only family members and essential school personnel. Some conference tournaments will continue with fans, but there will be none at the big dance. The NBA season was put on ice, meanwhile, just before tip-off between the Utah Jazz and Oklahoma City Thunder, when it was learned that Utah center Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban.
Maybe this ends up being for the best. You know, you minimize, you just have fewer cases and fewer distribution, and then good things happen. So, and hopefully we get it all figured out.
Some cities and states issued orders banning gatherings of as few as 250 people, which included sports games. Meanwhile, actor Tom Hanks and wife Rita Wilson tested positive while working on a film in Australia.
I've got the got electricity charge inside, energy like the lightning strike. Take one spark and I will ignite. Never stopping, I won't stand by.
Now that Human Resources Director Ryan Lee has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's really on top of his game. He even has his own hype song.
I'm the best beyond belief. I got strength and got the speed.
Entire workforce, complete with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
No, nobody catching up. They're not fast or strong enough. I got that electricity charging inside. Take one spark and
I'm attracting and engaging the best people every step of the way.
Never stopping, I won't stand by.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Never stopping, I won't stand by.
Thanks for being with us. Busy morning of news. The H1N1 influenza pandemic of 2009 triggered the largest deployment in U.S. history of the Strategic National Stockpile. That's the federal government's last resort cache of drugs and medical supplies like masks. But Beth Reinhard, reporter at The Washington Post, says the stockpile's reserves were not significantly restored after the 2009 pandemic, leading to today's concerns regarding coronavirus. Beth, what happened?
In 2009, the H1N1 pandemic, which that was the greatest deployment of what's called the Strategic National Pile. That's the federal repository of drugs and all sorts of supplies. It's worth $7 billion, and it's sort of the cash of last resort when there is some kind of medical emergency or natural disaster and states are running low. So when there was this pandemic in 2009, those reserves were obviously tapped, you know, quite a bit. 85 million N95 respirators, those are the special masks that medical personnel wear to protect themselves from infectious diseases like coronavirus. 85 million of those masks were distributed around 2009-2010. There were health and industry officials that pleaded with the federal government to replenish those resources. There were also lots of alarm bells on the funding for the stockpile, that it wasn't sufficient and, you know, wasn't able to get all of the things that, you know, could be needed in such a long range of scenarios, from a nuclear attack, bioterrorist incident, infectious disease, an earthquake, all these possibilities. And those reserves were not substantially replenished. And so now we find ourselves facing, you know, serious shortages of these masks that the healthcare workers say, you know, they really need them to protect themselves and, God forbid, they infect other patients as well.
What were we doing, Beth, if we were not replenishing that stockpile?
Good question. So they were buying things that, you know, were felt to be very important. A lot of pharmaceuticals, vaccines against anthrax and smallpox, obviously those are expensive, and the drug companies won't make them if the federal government doesn't buy them. And so the government faces these tough choices. You know, do I buy masks, which would be nice to have, but they may sit on the shelf and expire, or do I buy this vaccine that won't even exist if I don't buy it and could save lives? You know, so these are really tough choices. And so this protective gear for medical personnel went to the back burner.
I'm speaking with Beth Reinhard, investigative reporter at The Washington Post. Her piece is called Face Masks in National Stockpile Have Not Been Substantially Replenished Since 2009. Anybody envision the scenario where we have largely moved past coronavirus and thinking about next time there's an incident?
I don't think we're there yet. I mean, we're definitely not in the lessons learned stage yet. We're in the real scramble. In a lot of states, I shouldn't say a lot, some states, because the pandemic is just kind of starting to get really serious here in the U.S., you know, trying to see, assess their inventories of masks and ordering additional ones from the Strategic National Stockpile.
All right, so to bring it back, I guess, to current status, what do we do about running short on masks? Wasn't there a hospital in, I think, Massachusetts, you said, they came within like a week of running out?
Yes, Yes. The Department of Health and Human Services is now accepting bids for 500 million masks. You know, it remains to be seen how quickly industry can produce that many. You know, the experts that I talked to said, you know, you can certainly produce masks faster than you could produce a vaccine if that's what we needed. But here we find ourselves with a pandemic that, you know, there is no vaccine for coronavirus. There is no specific antiviral treatment. And so drugs are not as useful. You know, the drugs that are in the stockpile, you know, are not useful to us the way that masks are really in demand right now.
Thanks, Beth. Beth Reinhardt, investigative reporter at The Washington Post. The U.S. death toll now at 38 with more than 1,200 reported infections. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Taking dramatic action, President Trump sharply restricted passenger travel from 26 European nations to the U.S. starting at midnight tomorrow.
Anything coming from Europe to the United States is what we are discussing. These restrictions will also not apply to the United Kingdom.
Number two.
Global stock markets and oil prices are falling through the floor again today after Trump's announcement ramped up fears the global economy will careen into recession. Investors are also concerned about a lack of more robust fiscal package to counter the economic effects of coronavirus.
Number three.
The World Health Organization declared the coronavirus a pandemic and urged aggressive action from all countries to fight it by using the charged word pandemic. After shying away from calling it so earlier, the UN Health Agency sought to shock lethargic countries into pulling out all the stops. The NBA has suspended its season until further notice after a Utah Jazz player tested positive for the virus, a move that came only hours after the majority of the league's owners were leaning toward playing games without fans in arenas. Mavs owner Mark Cuban.
Wow, this is crazy. It can't be happening. I mean, it's just stunning. It doesn't seem like real life, more like something out of a movie.
The Jazz player who tested positive was center Rudy Gobert, who joked with reporters Monday before leaving a post-practice interview by touching all the tape recorders that were placed before him on a table. Bernie Sanders made a case for continuing in the 2020 race, challenging his front-running rival Joe Biden to embrace a series of liberal causes.
Our campaign continues to win the vast majority of the votes of younger people.
Sanders said Tuesday was not a good night for his campaign, but he still plans to debate Biden Sunday in Phoenix. Well, cycling to work can lead to better fitness and health, but it's also one of the most dangerous ways to commute. Researchers at the University of Glasgow found that commuting by bike was associated with a 45% higher risk of admission to a hospital for an injury compared with other methods of commuting, and longer cycling distances were linked to a higher risk of injury. But they found the health benefits of cycling were considerable, being linked to a lower risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, and premature death.
All right. Thank you, Jen. It is 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The ability of schools across the country to hold classes remotely is being tested as more close in on an effort to contain the spread of the novel coronavirus. Also being tested, the ability of families to get their homes tech ready so children can log into virtual classrooms. And what about kids being productive at home for an extended period? Julie Jargon, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has been exploring the subject in depth. Julie, set this up.
So there are school districts across the country and individual schools that are closing in response to the spread of coronavirus in certain communities. And as a result, schools are trying to shift to online learning so that students don't miss too many days of school and so that they don't have to tack on days at the end of the school year, which no one likes and apparently isn't very productive.
Yeah.
But as a result of doing this, they're learning that not all families are set up to do online classwork at home. And even in the North Shore School District in suburban Seattle, which has a lot of funding from the tech companies in the area, they had about 2,600 families that didn't have computers at home, and they needed to loan computers out to those homes, as well as wireless hotspots for people who didn't have high-speed internet connection.
Wow.
However, you know, that is an area where at least the school district had enough devices to send home to every family that needed one. But, of course, there are a lot of school districts where that won't be the case. Lower-income areas, rural areas where families may not have access to broadband internet. And so this could potentially create a problem as more districts across the country have to close down.
So how would something like that get addressed then?
A lot of districts have sort of pencil and paper plans in place, meaning that they will send home worksheets and paper-based homework for students to do during their time off. But obviously, you know, that that loses the instructional value that you can have with internet meetings, with your teachers' video meetings, where you can actually have the instruction taught to you and not just have to, you know, basically do homework for, you know, a week or two.
Well, speaking of a week or two, somebody brought up in your story, too, okay, it's one thing for students to be working from home for, say, a day, but how do you get a 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grader to concentrate for that long if they're there for an extended period?
Exactly. I mean, it would require a lot of self-discipline. I mean, a lot of adults have trouble working from home if they don't have the discipline to do so. So that is a big issue. The North Shore School District provided some sample schedules to keep students on track.
Okay.
But the issue is, you know, if unless you have a parent at home who can supervise, that will be really hard to institute. I don't think a lot of young people are that self-starting that they can follow even the sample schedule without somebody kind of keeping them on task, which obviously the teachers do in the classroom every single day. Kids get, you know, start watching YouTube on their laptops in the classroom, and, and a teacher has to say, turn that off. Go back to your schoolwork. But if you're at home and, you know, you've got a parent who either is also having to work from home or a parent who can't work from home, and the kid might be on their own all day. Are they really going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing all day long?
Here's Julie. Julie Jargon, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. It's time for you to upgrade to new, modern devices with Windows 10. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome to Thursday, March 12th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. COVID-19, now a pandemic. President Trump bans certain flights from Europe for 30 days. The NBA suspends its season. No fans at the NCAA basketball tournaments. The death toll in the U.S. now at 38 from coronavirus. The Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to keep enforcing the Remain in Mexico policy at the border. The Pentagon says two Americans were killed as rockets hit an Iraqi base housing U.S. troops. And the grandparents making the most of their cruise ship quarantine. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Former movie producer Harvey Weinstein has been sentenced to 23 years in prison for sexual assault and rape. The sentence was handed down yesterday in Manhattan Criminal Court. Defense attorney Donna Rotuno says public pressure played a role in the sentencing.
I am overcome with anger at that number. I think that number is a cowardly number to give. I think the judge caved, just as I believe the jury caved.
Mr. Weinstein was taken to New York's Rikers Island Jail following the sentencing. Hours later, however, he was transported to a hospital for, quote, ongoing heart problems and chest pains. Further analysis now from Corey Stern, partner and attorney with the firm Levy Koningsberg in New York. Corey, your reaction to the sentence length?
I think the judge decided, you know, at some point during the trial and expressed it that these were serious charges, and if found guilty, he was going to go to jail for more than 20 years. I bet the only debate the judge had was whether to have the 20-year and the 3-year sentence go concurrently or consecutively, and he went with the latter.
There was 29, I guess, which he could have gotten. Why not that?
He's a first-time convict. He's never been in trouble before. His age, his health, there's a variety of factors that courts can consider in sentencing. I'm not sure if there's a significant difference in the long run. as between 23 years and 29 years. And in all candor, the judge may think that his sentence is more defensible by not giving him the maximum, but still giving him significant time. So judges have egos, judges have agendas, lawyers have egos, lawyers have agendas. And I think that he was trying to weigh all of those factors in making the decision. But I was not surprised at all.
How about the Me Too movement here? Does that factor into a judge's decisions, or can it?
Does it and can it? You know, I can't say that it did. I think that I would be shocked that, you know, with a gun to his head, if the judge in an honest moment or after a, you know, after a drink or two, didn't say that it had some effect. You know, it was a monumental case for the movement. And whether people agree or not that he should have been convicted, you know, the judge, I think, would have been a better man than I if in that position he did not consider it.
Speaking with Corey Stern, he's a partner and civil attorney at Levy Konigsberg in New York. We're talking about the Harvey Weinstein sentencing. He made a statement, Mr. Weinstein, to the court expressing sympathy for men accused in the whole Me Too movement. Did that indicate anything to you? Did that indicate no remorse or anything like that?
I mean, I think it may have been the moment when the judge decided to run his sentences consecutively rather than concurrently.
Really?
You know, I do civil work, but, you know, I've been around enough criminal defense lawyers over the course of my career, either because I've sued their clients or because I've gotten to know them by way of just practicing for so many years. And true or not, you know, the best thing any convicted criminal can do at a sentencing hearing is show compassion, remorse, and some level of contrition for their actions, for what they did. And I understand what Harvey Weinstein said. I think he was being very honest in how he felt, and I'm sure he really feels that way. But it wasn't the right thing to do in that moment, and my guess is his lawyers were cringing as he was speaking.
So the 23 years, I don't know how sentencing like that works. Will he have to serve all of those years? Is there like an 80% rule or something?
Well, it's not federal, and so it's state. He'll serve most likely 60 to 70% of it. He could get out for good behavior. He can get out for health issues potentially, but he's facing a more difficult situation insofar as there's charges pending against him in Los Angeles, which are as or more serious than the charges he faced in New York. And if he has any kind of experience there like he has here, it really doesn't matter how much time he actually serves, because he's probably going to spend the rest of his life in jail.
His health, and I don't pretend to know anything about his condition, but I know he was using that walker. And this may sound cruel. Is that ever used as a crutch or embellishment in these cases?
Absolutely. I mean, I thought the entire time that there was a real strategy with presenting him a certain way. And, you know, when you juxtapose this frail old man who's you know, fat and can't walk on his own with these women who are beautiful, you know, coming in to testify, there was definitely some contrived plan there to juxtapose his appearance and his well-being with these strong, vibrant, very pretty women. And so I think part of it was that. I also do think he really did have some back issues, and I do think that when the trial ended, I mean, if I had been convicted of two felonies, including, you know, rape, I probably would have had heart palpitations, and they may have needed to put a stent in me as well. I mean, I don't think that was contrived. I think it was real, but I would expect that from anybody that was convicted under those circumstances.
Thanks, Corey. Corey Stern, partner and attorney with the firm Levy Konigsberg in New York. It is 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. According to ZipRecruiter research, nearly three-quarters of employers say they're finding it difficult to fill open spots. So 68% have raised their wages, 23% have increased benefits. If you have a difficult role to fill, no matter what your industry, hire with ZipRecruiter. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter makes hiring easy by sending your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites. Using their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter then scans thousands of resumes to find people with just the right skills and experience for your job and invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Glad you could be with us. Welcome finally into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, I know the NBA's indefinite suspension of the basketball season is going to have a rippling effect on the sports landscape. Among the less impactful but still very notable impacts is that we could have finally seen the last of Vince Carter in an NBA uniform. Carter, who has played in four decades and for eight teams, had already announced that he would retire after the season. And now, if the league does not resume this season and cancels all of the 15 remaining games on the schedule, the 43-year-old eight-time All-Star may have suited up for the last time. Something he said last night is a weird way to call a career.
You're used to, you know, you don't have any more games left. Instead, I technically have what I would consider eligibility. I have 15 games left.
And if this really is the end for Carter, then at least he ended his career on a positive note, drilling a three-pointer as the clock ticked down in overtime last night for what could have been his final basket.
Wow.
I mean,
that's weird.
We've talked about him several times, right? Every time he says he's going to come back, we're like, I can't believe he's still. I couldn't believe, you know, 5 years ago, I couldn't believe he was still in the league because he was once, you know, one of the big superstars in the league, right?
And then, dunk contest champ.
Right. You know, back in the 90s, you know, and then he's sort of taken a lesser role the last few years and sort of been a mentor now to young players. He's kind of completely flipped his career around and just amazing longevity out of him, in better shape than, you know, any of us ever hoped to be.
Yeah, it's true. Well, but what just a weird scenario now.
Oh, yeah.
With the NBA suspending its season.
Yeah.
The NCAA is going to play the tournament, apparently, at this point this morning,
then not to
with
mention,
no fans.
Yeah, not to mention baseball starts in like a week and a half.
Right.
I mean, sports is going to be very, very different this spring, if we have it at all.
I mean, the Ivy League has canceled all spring sports.
Yes.
There's no lacrosse, baseball, softball, track.
We're all going to have to find other things to do, it would appear. And in non-virus news, Gordon, we don't normally think of cows as speedy, but there's one cow roaming around Florida, which, according to police, is deceptively fast, and they're looking for our help to catch it. The Pembroke Pines PD posted a wanted poster for the cow on Facebook, saying that it's been evading capture by police and cow herders since January due to, quote, its surprising speed and fence jumping skills. While cops say the speedy bovine is not considered dangerous, it has been known to walk into the roadway, so motorists in the area are urged to use caution. And the fugitive cow has quite the rap sheet waiting for it if and when it is captured, with charges including moving violations and uttering false checks.
I see that.
Yeah, you see what they did there? Very, very, very clever.
By the way, it should be pointed out that as busy a news cycle as this is for us, Mike not only does the mic drop thing, he is also our producer, which has meant some very busy and long days for you. I just want to point out publicly, in all sincerity, you're doing a great job.
Thanks. We joked about this yesterday. We were going to need to have a bigger show today, right? We're going to need to just, you know, expand a little
bit. Okay, Mike. Okay, you got your compliment. Back to the desk.
We'll still be talking to you this afternoon.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
We will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. The new rules will go into effect Friday at midnight.
Enormous announcement from President Trump during a televised address last night to the nation. Jennifer will have more on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, while the CDC is telling people over 60 or those with chronic illnesses to stay home, young people feel it is now their time to fly. NBC News says Ashley Hinkle has booked three trips. She's 20 years old, taking advantage of the cheap flights. She lives in California's Central Valley, but this summer she will be in Vancouver, New York City, and Portland, Oregon. Another woman who's in the Atlanta area says she's going to Connecticut because she wants to see her grandmother for her 71st birthday. She will be saving hundreds of dollars to make that trip. Says, if I die, I die. But right now, I miss my family. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
No more NBA games, a St. Patrick's Day with no parades, college campuses with no students, corporate headquarters with barren cubicles. The nation is snapping to attention as the new coronavirus was declared a pandemic.
Number two.
Stocks slid into bear market territory and global markets are selling off again today after President Trump announced a travel ban for most European countries. Carrie Leahy of Decision Economics.
This time, we don't really have a great deal of historical precedent to what's going on now. We have had some pandemics in the past, but they have not had any of the market impact what is happening currently.
Number three.
Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson are isolated in stable condition in an Australian hospital after contracting the coronavirus. The two-time Oscar winner is easily the most famous person yet to disclose they have COVID-19. Hanks had been in Australia shooting an Elvis Presley biopic. Democrats in the House have unveiled legislation to give aid to individuals and families affected by the coronavirus outbreak. It includes additional funding for food and nutrition programs, expanded unemployment insurance, and paid sick days for workers. They plan to vote on the measure as soon as today. A little good news here. China had 8 new coronavirus infections in Hubei province, the first time the epicenter of the pandemic recorded a daily tally in single digits as more businesses reopened. 5 people died in a head-on collision with a bus late last night in Atlanta. 7 people were inside a sedan that crossed a center lane just before 11 p.m. Of the 7 people in the car, 5 were pronounced dead at the scene and 2 others were critically injured. The bus driver suffered minor injuries. The Senate has given final congressional approval to a measure that would overturn rules issued by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos in a 2019 that made it harder for students to get loans erased after being misled by for-profit colleges. The House approved that measure in January. And coronavirus is now even affecting ads. Hershey has pulled 2 spots focused on human interaction and replaced them with ads featuring only chocolate bars, text, and voiceover. Hershey says it made the decision to pull spots featuring Bob Williams and Diggy Moreland handing out Hershey bars to strangers, often with hugs and handshakes. Hershey cites current sensitivity surrounding COVID-19.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
This is about as wide-reaching as it gets right now. More to come, I guess. Thanks, Jen.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I'm a cut above the rest.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I am.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top, top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top.
A young woman who recently disembarked from the Grand Princess cruise ship with her grandparents has been sharing hilarious footage of her time under confinement, including clips of her grandfather singing a coronavirus song.
Blah, 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 blah. I call it, I was thinking of the name of virus. Coronavirus.
Fox News says Michelle Heckard boarded the Grand Princess with both of her 87-year-old grandparents February 21st. Upon returning, though, they were confined to their room, waiting off the coast of San Francisco. During that time, she and her grandparents appeared to make the best of a bad situation. In her posts, her grandparents practiced Tai Chi, learned how to make paper airplanes, and tried out Zumba while she wrote songs on her ukulele. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.